Rob Southey from Cordner King. Knowing Jerry and Monash a bit, I'd be surprised if Jerry didn't put a great deal more work into Monash than he does into, for example, being a board member of the ANZ Bank, which I think he alluded to. Could I ask what are the pros and cons of remunerating members of council of universities and chancellor rather than expect them to do a very substantial amount of work absolutely gratis?
Well, you're right about the amount of work, but it flows with events. If a university's got a problem, then you work 100% of your time on the university, and we've had some situations like that at Monash in my time. When things are running smoothly, as they are at the moment, it's a breeze. I mean, you hardly notice it, and you certainly shouldn't be paid anything for that. Most of us who come into councils are very pleased to have the opportunity of doing public service, as much as anything, to put back into a system out of which most of us who have got university education have benefited. So I am certainly against it, but my council is also of the view that council members should not be paid. And I don't think there's no chancellor in Victoria who is paid. I can't speak for the other states. But I think the best system is not to pay them.
Yes, Ashley.
Ashley Goldsworthy, Jerry, Business Higher Education Roundtable. You mentioned that the most significant role of the council is to appoint the Vice-Chancellor. Sir John Dunlop, a past Doyen of Directors, said that boards had two very important functions. One was to appoint the CEO. The second one that you didn't mention was to decide when to sack him, which I guess goes hand in hand. There's a lot of talk about universities being run like businesses. Now, universities are very different from businesses. They might be run more business-like. What do you see from your experience as the key differences between a university council or senate and a public company board, for example?
Well, I'm experienced in both fields of hiring and firing. In the case of a public company, you have a body of people called shareholders. And what a board's first responsibility is to add value for the shareholders. Increasingly, of course, that is now extended to broader communities in which companies operate. Universities don't have shareholders, so their responsibilities, that is the responsibility of the governing body, is as much as anything to the students and the staff, both academic staff and other staff. And also, in the case of Australia, to the states under which, I'm not sure about ANU, but most of the universities anyway are operated under state acts. So we have a responsibility to do, to manage the assets responsibly for the state government. So I think our stakeholders are the government, the students, the staff, the government, the broader community, but they're quite different to shareholders. And therein lies, I think, the major difference.
Yes.
Thank you. I'd just like to ask you a bit more about the tensions you see on the board. Sorry, not on the board, on the council there, about the people having a representational role and moving to an appointment role. So in moving from a representational role, which I agree with you is very different, I've had a lot of experience with both of those myself, what advice would you give for an organisation that's moving from a representational role on its governing council to one which is going to an appointments set up?
Well, let's use an undergraduate student as an example. An elected student has enormous responsibility, loyalty, accountability to the body that has elected it. And they will get grilled and briefed and persuaded as to how to behave in the council meeting. Whereas when they come to council, I say to them, we want your views brought into the room, but remember, when you make a decision, it has to be on the basis of what's best for the organisation as a whole, not your section of it. Now, I still think councils would want to have students on the council, one or other or more students. But if they are appointed, and that begs the question of how to appoint them, I agree, but if they're appointed, they don't have that other loyalty. They don't have that other body who have put them there, who have given them this privilege. I mean, they don't feel under any obligation in that regard. They come with their views, and I think it's much easier for them to think of the welfare of the institution as a whole rather than their particular section of it. But it still begs the question as to how they should be appointed. But then, you know, the students are pretty well known by the academic staff. So, a university is not without its communication channels and devices. So I think it's probably doable.
Yes.
Steve Malcolm, Department of Sustainability and Environment. I'm really interested in this whole idea of, I guess I'd call it, governance structures and roles and responsibilities. Can I just take a bit further that previous discussion? Jerry, what's your ideal model for the appointment process then for council members? I mean, how are they appointed and by whom? Who reviews it? Da-da-da-da.
Well, the flippant answer is that a committee of two is already a bit big. But you can get away with it if you appoint the other person. I come from that end of the spectrum. However, one has to recognise, and there is great strength in it, the collegiality that exists within an academic institution. And collegiality is to be supported and nourished and encouraged. You can't look at a university in the same way you look at a business. I mean, going back to that question. So I think you have to have number of people on the council from the institution itself that help support collegiality. So the academic board, the head of the academic board is a natural to, you'd think, to be on the council, certainly the vice-chancellor, and a student and a researcher. I mean, you need that sort of input, I think, at council level. But equally, you need people who understand the interaction between business and tertiary sector. Whether or not you need someone from the government to join a council is an open question. Some think yes, others think no, and anyway, which government? So that's a more difficult one to answer. But I do think collegiality is something that has to be uppermost in our minds as we start to design new systems of government for universities.